In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Amen. This gospel, as was mentioned in the Synaxarion that we heard during Orthros, contains the longest passage that Jesus ever speaks to one person, at least that we know of. And St. John thought it important enough to include it in his gospel. For it's truly a wonderful and miraculous thing that we see today. Jesus, of course, comes into an area called Samaria. Now, Samaria originally was part of the northern kingdom. But at the Babylonian captivity, when all the Jews were taken out, eventually some people came back. But it was a mixture at that point of pagans and Jews. And the pagans gave up most of their pagan practices, but at the same time, they adopted only some of the practices of the Jews. And so to the Jews, they were absolute heretics. And even though we hear something nice today about the Samaritans and what happens with them after the woman's testimony, even so, Samaria and Judea would fight for a long time. And in fact, the Samaritans had problems not only with Jews, but with Christians later, much later on. But Jesus intentionally comes into Samaria today because he knows that this woman is going to be there. Now, we know that the disciples would not have liked this. They would not have even gone into Samaria if the Lord had not led them. And of course, they're not very happy about what they see. Well, this is hardly anything new. We read the Gospels and the apostles are rarely happy about some of the things that they see that the Lord does. But they followed in, and Jesus goes on in and sits down at the well of Jacob. Now, it's called Jacob's Well. And when you ask, why is it called Jacob's Well? Well, St. Gregory of Palamas says, because Jacob dug it. That's why. It actually is his well. It's about 75 feet deep. So it's very, very deep and about 7 feet in width. And so this woman was coming out at noon, one of the hottest portions of the day, and she's got her water bucket, and Jesus asked for something to drink. And then, of course, what is amazing here is that this woman goes into this really tremendous theological argument with the Lord. And he engages her, not as someone who is unlearned or stupid or the fact that she's female or anything like that. He gets into conversation with her about all of these things that we hear, about salvation being from the Jews. And then he talks to her and says, go get your husband, because he wants a confession from her that the man that she is with now is not her husband and that she has had 5 husbands. Well, what does she do after she hears this? I've always thought this was kind of an amusing point in this story, because after the Lord says, you know, well, you say this truly, you know, you're speaking honestly. You've actually had 5 husbands, and this guy you're with now is not your husband. And so instead of somehow delving into all of that, she comes back with, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, thereby perhaps sort of ignoring the fact that she was accused now of being with someone that she wasn't married to and had 5 husbands before. But the Lord doesn't let any of this put him off. He keeps in conversation with her. He explores her own motives, and he sees exactly how faithful she really is. Though we don't know what her past was, we don't know anything about the 5 husbands or the guy she was with then, we do know that she had a spirit within her that was seeking, that was searching, that was religiously inclined, and that she was looking for something very, very important. And so she speaks about the Messiah, that he will show us all things when he comes. And then Jesus does something extraordinary in this passage. He does this nowhere else in the gospel. He says, I who am speaking to you am he. He didn't even tell Peter that. Peter confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said that, but Jesus didn't provoke it. He simply said, who do you think the Son of Man is? And then Peter spoke up by the power of the Holy Spirit and made this confession about him being the Christ. But here Jesus volunteers this to this woman. And the woman was absolutely bowled over by everything. She left everything there. Remember, it was noon. It was hot. She was thirsty. The Lord was thirsty. He was tired. And yet she leaves the bucket there and she runs off. And she tells everyone in that area about what's going on. I mean, it must have been an extraordinary scene. She's running out to them, probably in the midst of a great crowd. She's maybe a little bit harried. Her hair is disheveled. She's just so excited from what she's found. And she says, come, come with me and find someone who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And of course, later on, we hear that the Samaritans in that area, after speaking with Jesus, and of course, this wasn't recorded, and the apostles had come back and didn't dare say anything to him about what was going on, but the Lord spent 2 days with them. And they finally said to the Samaritan woman, look, it doesn't matter what you thought or what you did or what you told us. The fact is that we now have heard this man and we know who he is. What a great start for this woman who would become an extraordinary evangelist. We know her as Saint Fultini, the great and holy martyr, Saint Fultini. And we know more about her also. We know that she preached as much as she possibly could to the Samaritans and anyone that would listen. We know that she was baptized on the day of Pentecost itself by the Apostle Peter and followed him for a long, long time. She ended up in Carthage. She had 2 sons. Again, out of that 6, we don't know whose sons they were. One was Joseph and another was Victor. St. Fultini ended up in Carthage and was living there and preaching there. And her son Victor was actually a general. He became a general in the Roman army, but yet was a very, very devout man, a man who loved God. He was promoted to general by the impious and really disgusting emperor Nero himself. But then St. Fultini decided to go to Rome, to preach in Rome. And she took not just her child Joseph, but also a huge retinue. So that said that when she came into Rome, Nero himself was shocked by all the people that were following her and wondered what this was all about. And then St. Fultini comes and confesses Christ boldly before him. And so he says, how many children do you have? Well, I have 2. I have 2 and I have 5 sisters. Bring them all here so that I can meet them. And then he discovers that one of them was, in fact, Victor, the man that he had appointed general. And so Victor comes also and shows up with his mother and his brother. And St. Fultini is confessing Christ. And then Nero completely turns against all of them. He says to Victor, what is this? You're one of my generals. You should deny Christ. Go on with your great career that you've started. And Victor boldly says, not a chance. Not a chance. Why would I deny Christ who's given me everything, absolutely everything? And so with that confession and the confession of Joseph and St. Fultini and her 5 sisters, Nero then begins a series of tortures which are absolutely unbelievable, probably worse than any I've ever read in the lives of the saints. I can't go into all of them now. But I'll just say that some of them frustrated the torturers because the first thing they did is put their hands down on anvils and take metal pegs and try and crush their bones. And nothing happened to their bones. It was said that the torturers themselves, after 3 hours of doing this, were so wearied that they were about to faint and fall over. These people were thrown into a fiery furnace as the 3 holy children were. Nothing happened to them. There was another series of tortures that went on and on and on until finally 2 or 3 of the sisters were beheaded. 2 were tied, this wonderful torture that Nero loves so much. 2 were tied with their legs, 1 to each tree, and launched apart. They were split in half. Victor and Joseph, her sons, were both beheaded. And finally, St. Fultini was thrown down into a well. But an angel came and healed her and brought her back until she was finally reposed after many more tortures were inflicted upon her. She was, in many cases, considered equal to the apostles. This woman, whom we know, who was sitting at the well of our Lord, who had a questionable past, and yet has the boldness to engage him in conversation, to show him the faith that is inside her, yet it's incomplete because she was with a heretical sect, the Samaritans. But because of that engagement, because of her boldness, because of her willingness to go out and preach the gospel to absolutely everyone, she comes before the impious Emperor Nero himself, her and all her family who give their lives for Jesus Christ. But yet it all started at noonday one day when a thirsty man whom she knew nothing about came and approached her for a drink. And she talked to him. And instead of taking the drink from that water, she took the living water that Christ did give her that day and went and began her extraordinary and wondrous life. That's the reason why she celebrated today during the season of Pascha, because of the greatness of her love, because of the fact that she had a hunger for knowing the faith, for knowing the Lord, and for finally giving her life for him that called her by that well. So by the prayers of the holy Saint Fultini, the glorious and great martyr, may our Lord Jesus Christ make us as worthy as she was to confess him with boldness. Christ is risen.